at 6:01. Jeff.
It's okay, it's back time.
President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Batnagar.
Okay.
Mr. Brown. Vice President Ripka.
Here.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Yep.
Governor Flamin.
Plaisant.
Councilman Lynn is here on the live stream. Councilor Anderson. Councilor Rates is here on the live stream. Councilor Moale. Councilor Hosseini. Councilor Bilak.
Here.
Councilor Cutarm. Councilor Lee. Councilor Hussein. Councilor Stat.
Here.
And Councilor C is the live stream. Councilor Ansari. Councilor Yao. Councilor Roseland is in the live stream. Councilor Bose. Councilor Adwan is in the live stream. Councilor Hanasek is in the live stream. Councilor Chung is in the live stream. Councilor Ahmad. Councilor Sunday. Councilor Nguyen. Councilor Azuki's in the live stream. Councilor Hadoosh.
Yep.
Councilor Kim. Councilor DePinto's in the live stream. Councilor Agarwal. Councilor Rizvi. Councilor Bruce. Councilor Belcourt. Let me see if we have a quorum here. Nineteen people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the vacancy for education would reduce us to 39. Oh, and Ailes is 38. So, yeah, 19 and a half.
Is it just the counselors who count for attendance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're good. We have quorum. Just, but we have quorum. All right. We'd like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students' union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We're grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Soto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papas Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and traditions. Our next meeting of Students Council will take place Tuesday, February 12th, which is next week. So we do have, this will be 4 or 5 meetings in a row, so a lot. 6 p.m., Council Chambers back at Main Campus. I am in a special order of both items from the late additions on to the main agenda. That's item 2A from the presentations, and item 7A from Board and Committee Business onto the main agenda. Councilor Rizvi, I'll give it to you, just because we're so close, but not another one. All right, so we'll begin with our presentation. Brown moves to allow the Campus Saint-Jean, an institution unique presentation presented by IOFSG. Campus Saint-Jean has a unique history with the University of Alberta, Western Canada, and the Francophone community. The presentation will cover CSJ's history, Alberta's Francophonie, and the problems facing CSJ today. I believe, Senpai, are you going to be presenting this?
Yes.
Okay. Sempa, you have 30 minutes for your presentation.
Thank you for coming to CSJ. I'm going to say this next part in French. On vous souhaite la bienvenue de venir à notre belle faculté, which basically means welcome to our lovely little faculty. My name is Sempa Cesar. I am, as you can see, back of my jacket, I am the VP external for our faculty associations here. The reason why we wanted to give you a little bit of a presentation about our faculty association is that we operate a little bit differently than a regular faculty association, since we just have a lot of different add-on things to our mandate. So we can actually just get started. Go to the next slide. So who are we? Basically, IRFSG stands for Association des Universitaires de la Faculté Saint-Jean, basically means that we are the faculty association here for the students at Campus Saint-Jean. Our council is composed of our president, who couldn't be here today, but I'm glad that I'm here still. His name is Eric Enerson. We have our vice president, we have five vice president positions. The internal vice president is Callie McDonald. I hold the external position. OpsFi is held by a student named Sachif. Our international VP student position is held by a student named Shaima. And then our academic VP, her name is Olivia. And so we usually have about exec meetings about once every 2 weeks. So it goes exec meetings, and then it staggers off with like entire council meetings and stuff like that. So we kind of switch from week to week. We have four counselors to date. That was one of the issues that we faced this year. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But we do have four counselors. Their names are Malater, Keisha,
Gina,
and Brianna. Thank you. So we can keep going. And so what essentially makes us different? As most of you know, with a lot of faculty associations, they usually are only dealing with the university as a whole, but because of our special status and because of our connection to the Francophone community, we do have to serve the Francophone community a lot. We do a lot of business with them. So. We can actually keep going. CSJ stats, so we have 914 students as of now, and that includes like graduate studies as well. We do 60 or 70% of the student population at CSJ is actually French immersion students who observe immersion programs in their youth. And the other 30 or 40% is usually comprised of like, The wording is very odd, like French first language students from Alberta or from other provinces in the country, as well as international students who come from outside Canada. So we do have a couple of different programs offered. The BA and B Science degrees were the first ones to appear at NCSJ. And then we have the Bachelor in Education program. That one tends to be our largest program, if you will. It's one of the only programs where we do have all of the classes offered in French, and so that's one of our larger programs. We do have elementary education and as well as secondary education. So, yeah. We also do have a couple joint programs with the BCom, which Adam Brown is actually in right now. And so that's like our bilingual business program. We also have les sciences infirmières, which is nursing. And so most nurses do their first year here. And then usually the rest of the classes are done in English at North Campus. And as well as the Bachelor in Engineering program here as well. Keep going. So external relations, this is my stuff. And so these are just a couple of the things that we do with North Campus. Obviously, The clubs here are sort of limited because we just have a limited student population. And so we usually tend to go over to North Campus for a lot of different types of clubs. Sometimes we bring ideas back, which is one of the things that we're doing this year because of the Gateway and its popularity and stuff like that. We decided to revamp the student newspaper, which is going to be really, really cool. It's called the Total Law. It's going to be dope.
Yes.
And have our own version of O Poster Slams. It's going to be awesome. And the purity test. We have our own purity test. It's going to be dope. We do, a lot of us tend to get into other faculty associations, especially with like the joint programs. So in nursing and in business especially, the students tend to get involved into other faculties, faculty associations and stuff like that, since they kind of belong to both, which is a really cool thing that they get to do. Some of our students get involved in governance, such as Tara and the rest of us and stuff like that. A lot of us like to plant our seeds wherever we go. We do get involved into a lot of like student life stuff. One of the things that's become a lot more popular now that I didn't think it was, a lot of CSJ students are getting involved in Greek life, so like fraternities, sororities, like that. That tends to be something that's pretty well observed by a lot of CSJ students, which I didn't think was happening, but it's an interesting surprise. And the last thing, obviously, a lot of you know that we do get involved with the Students' Union. That's usually within like programs like Week of Welcome and Events Crew and stuff like that. It's really important for us to be able to have people from CSJ in those programs, just that we can, you know, provide our own experiences and our own realities and difficulties. This also helps with like the creation of like promo material, which is something that we've been wanting at CSJ for a really long time. This right over here is a little diagram that was made by one of our friends. His name is Martin. He is the president of a Francophone youth organization that works out of the big building. Oh, where is it? Which way? It's that way. It's called SCP Francophone. It's sort of the cultural hub of the little French quarter that we have over here. All the big Francophone provincial organizations work out of there. This is sort of a large, massive diagram of like all of the different organizations that are really big. I'm gonna talk about like three of them. This one up here is one that the Students' Union has actually dealt with before. They're known as the ACFA. It's the larger like how would you say puff?
Like representative.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the larger representative organization. Sorry. Which isn't my first language. It's a larger representative organization that sort of represents the Francophone community as a whole towards government or towards other organizations as well. So they usually take the lead on a lot of those larger political conversations. Right now they're working on policy changes to allow more French within some of our day-to-day stuff in the Alberta government. Right now, I'm going to talk also about FGA. It's Francophonie Jeunesse de l'Alberta. It's the youth organization I was talking about earlier. They serve French-speaking youth from the age of 14 all the way to the age of 25. We do a lot of activities that mainly involve 18 to 25 students, and so we do like events at the local bars or the local pubs and stuff like that. We try to create events such as smaller events for students here at Campus Saint Jean. So that's one of the really powerful ones. The other one I want to talk about would be, it's not on here, but it has something to do, is it here? It's not here, never mind. It's called Le Centre d'Accueil. Its main mandate is mostly to help like new arrivals and stuff like that. So when we do get international students, it's one of the organizations that we do refer them to, because it gives them a lot of easy access to the different things that are around Edmonton, as well as job opportunities and stuff like that. But it gives them that access in French, which is great. Continue. Along with all those organizations, we do aid in either providing advocacy for students or just like providing volunteers and stuff like that. Like this is one of the bigger events that happens every year. It's the Flying Canoe Canoe Volant. It's this little thing in the ravine. It happened last weekend actually. It's this festival that takes place. Like it's all based around like a Francophone folk, Franco-Métis folk story. And so they're like games for kids in the ravine and stuff like that. There's storytelling. It's a great time. It's a wonderful experience. And so the Campus Saint-Jean, what they do is that they give RFSG just a little bit of funds, and then we give them volunteers from like all the clubs and stuff like that, which is really, really great. We also do participate in a lot of stuff at the ACFA. That was the large representative organization. We were able to participate in the large annual congress. It's this conference that happens at the beginning of the year where all Francophone matters within Alberta are discussed and stuff like that. And so that's one thing that RFSG always helps out with. And they've been there, I think, twice or three times at this year now, which is great. There's a youth parliament that's organized by the Francophone Youth organization. And so a lot of students at CSJ, and especially a lot of students within the Faculty Association, have taken part of it. Adam has taken part of it quite a few times. He's been the Prime Minister, so it's a good time. I'm going to keep going. Our VP internal couldn't be here today, so I'm going to give y'all a little bit of an overview of some of our upcoming events. Some of the smaller stuff, like we're going to do a Valentine's Day candy gram, so we're going to go around and give candy to students, and they'll be able to like submit stuff, and then we'll be able to go over into classes and give them. That's going to be really nice. We do have this new initiative that we're doing. RFSG bought a Nintendo Switch, and so every Friday, right around noonish and stuff like that, for a couple hours, we will put the Nintendo Switch onto the big projector, and then people will be able to play video games and stuff like that. So that's going to be a lot of fun. FrancoFest 2019, that's a huge accomplishment this year. It came out of a pipe dream that came from me and Adam a while back. And we were always wondering about having an event, a Francophone event, at North Campus. And it was, and we were always mulling over the idea. Last year, unfortunately, we didn't necessarily have the time to do it. But this year, we're doing it. It's going to be awesome. So it's just sort of a soiree happening at Dewey's. It's a chance for North Campus students, English-speaking students, as well as French-speaking students who don't go to Campus Saint-Jean, to experience a little bit about the French language culture that exists in Alberta. So as you saw, that big slide with all the other Francophone organizations, it's a lot to memorize, especially the acronyms. Those are impossible to memorize. We will have like info booths for those Francophone organizations to come and explain a little bit about what they do and see if they might be able to interest some students in participating in some of them. We will also have live performances from singer-songwriters, Franco-Albertan singer-songwriters. We do exist, a lot of us. It's going to be dope. We will have like poutine that's going to be included in the price of the ticket. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then there's our bigger event, the biggest event that happens every year. It's called Poutine Party at North Campus. We like to call it Fête de la Francophonie. Basically, it's a giant party, and it's basically the culmination of the whole Alberta Francophone Heritage Month. I don't know if you heard about that, but the government recently announced that within Alberta, the month of March is to be the Alberta Francophone Heritage Month. And so for us at Lisa CSJ is the big culmination of all of that. At the end of what used to be called La Semaine de la Francophonie, which is basically the week of the 20th and the 22nd. At the end of that week, on the 22nd, there will be Fête de la Francophonie. So We do have like custom drinks and stuff like that, which are really, really cool. There's one called Factor V. I see that, that's funny. So a $20 ticket gets you four drinks, four custom CSJ drinks. Entry fee, and the best part, unlimited poutine. So in the basement, there are people making poutine tirelessly for all the students, so we can hurt our livers and clog our arteries. Yes.
I have an aggressively important question. What is the actual date of this party?
The 22nd of March.
Oh, it's here.
Yes, it's here.
Is it?
Or no, it's not here. Here, it's at. What's the name of the hall?
The King Edward Park Community
Hall. King Edward Park Community Hall.
It's off 83rd Street and 79th Ave.
It's right by Adam's house.
Right by my house.
What is it called?
22nd of March. We'll send out like events, event like things and all the Facebook stuff. Adam will be able to tell you. Yes?
Do you accept credit card?
I don't know.
Unless you do now.
I think it's mostly cash. You'll have to come to CSJ to buy your ticket, but it's worth it. That's another thing. You could give them to a CSJ student, and they might be able to come over and buy it for you. Trust me, it's definitely worth it. It's a good time. I just wanted to do a little bit of a parenthesis on like the issues that we've run into this year. One of the things that we've run into that's been really detrimental to CSJ's culture is the student apathy. A lot of students really, really don't want to get involved with either the faculty association's events or any events at CSJ. It's a very new generation, so we're trying to keep up and stuff like that. And we're trying to be able to hit all the different methods of communication. At the beginning of the year, it was a little bit of a fiasco. That was another thing. We did get a little bit of bad publicity. Some of the older students were complaining that events weren't being well attended and stuff like that. And so there was a lot of bad publicity at the beginning of the year, especially just because there's one event that we do every year. It's a large, it's called Fête de la Rentrée. It just basically means like beginning of the year party and stuff like that. And so. That was one of our mishaps. The bar pulled out on us at the last second, and they had an event of a similar nature going on the same day in the same bar. So it was like weird, very weird. It's a whole thing, and so that happened, and then like slowly but surely our attendance for our events and stuff like that started to go down and stuff like that. So this. That was one of the problems that we had this year. One of the other things was 100% exec turnover. So last year we had a wonderful exec, it was great. They had a lot of experience because a lot of them had been on the council prior to them being on within that exec. However, this year we had an entire exec turnover, and so all the exec positions were completely filled by people who had never been on RFSG except for myself, but so it was a very, very tough transition. Some people received very wonderful transition packages. Some people didn't receive one. Some people got them on a napkin. So it was pretty bad, and we kind of had to pick up the slack of that. And it was a tough first semester to be honest. A lot of us were really feeling the issues. And we also had, during the Christmas break, we also did have our president step down from the role. But luckily we've been able to fill up those roles, and so now we're doing much better. One issue that I did want to touch on is an issue going on within the practicums within the education program. Recently we've had reports, not recently, it's been happening for years, it's just recently that we finally got someone to talk about it, but a lot of our international students or students of color have been getting a lot of instances of racism within their practicums and stuff like that. And it finally all came to a culminating point after the first semester, where a bunch of students actually failed their practicums, but for what's it called? for nefarious intentions, or due to nefarious intentions from those teachers. And so that's been a huge issue. Those particular students, as well as a group of other students who had experienced different acts of racism and inconsistency within the program, they all came out of the woodworks and they started to contact different people. For a while, IRFSG was overlooked, which was unfortunate, but they did meet with some people within the student sphere. They did recently have a meeting with our dean and stuff like that. Our dean and our vice dean our vice dean academic, and so some of the issues have been temporarily solved. But as the dean did say very well, although like his handling of the meeting was questionable, he did mention one thing that was very important. That we only have control, as CSJ, we only have control over the counselor teachers that we hire. However, the teachers that are in the classrooms, we don't necessarily have control over them. That's based on the school board. And so hopefully we'll be able to start conversations with the school board to somehow mitigate this whole thing. But it's an issue that's been happening for years. I'm glad that we're finally talking about it. And yeah. That's definitely one of the issues. The other thing is the student cafe. The Cafe Univac has gone through a lot of different changes because the food there is frankly terrible. And so we decided to employ a Francophone organization for one of the bistros that's down there. It's called Cafe Bicyclette. And so we thought, oh yeah, we finally got Cafe Bicyclette. They're gonna be great. And now they're serving us overpriced food. Insanely overpriced. It's kind of ridiculous, especially if they expect students to be buying this food. So eventually, obviously the numbers aren't doing well for them, and so the idea is that they're not going to be there next year. But we do have a project in the works, and that's we'll talk to you about that in a bit. We do also have a lack of student oriented spaces within the student lounge that we have. Some of you got to see it when you got here. There are a lot of people complaining that it's too noisy to study. And then in the library, we do have a lot of student spaces over there. But a lot of those people apparently are complaining that over there it's a little bit too noisy, or that there are too many people studying in the library, which is odd. So there's just sort of a confusion of where or what student spaces are meant to be, and how the student spaces are supposed to be oriented. And so we see that there's sort of a lack of some of those spaces, or maybe a lack of comprehension of how those spaces work. And so that's been one of the issues that's been brought up. Last thing to talk about would just be like posters and banners. From the Students' Union or from the university don't really get translated, and we don't get them, and we can't come to the events and stuff like that. That's been in the works. I've been told there's a policy being put into place for that, and we're finally starting to get some translated posters, which is great. And then lastly, I just want to talk a little bit about some of the accomplishments that we've had. We've had to really, really grind into like a lot of our resilience. We've had a lot of growth as a faculty association, just because like it's been. Honestly, that first semester was, I'm gonna say it, a bit of a shit show. It was really, really tough, but we've been able to come out of it better. Our first event, that's the next thing I'm gonna talk about, Festival Univac 9, was a huge success. Apparently it was the best one that had ever been made. It's basically a cultural event that we put on for CSJ's hockey team, which is a huge part of like CSJ's culture and stuff like that. A lot of the very deeply ingrained cultural aspects of CSJ is rooted in that hockey team. And then RFSG, what we get to do is we organize a sort of a cultural event that happens right before their big intergenerational hockey match, which happens every year. And so we organize this festival over here, and apparently it was well attended, and we had a profit from that, and the people said that they really, really enjoyed it, so that was great. We also got to have like a little bit of a radio appearance, which was great. That just means that the Francophone community is starting to take us a little bit more seriously. We're starting to have a little bit better relations. Usually they sort of ignore us, and they don't really get to talk to us, especially when student stuff comes up. Sometimes they forget to talk to us about it, and so hopefully this will help build up some relations. Our social media outreach is up by 80%, which is great. The book sale, we've finally been able to take care of that. It used to be a very long and arduous process where like AUFSJ volunteers would have to go and run the book sale, but we all have classes, we all have like very strenuous lives. So it was very, very difficult at first. It used to be a horror show. Now we partnered up with the bookstore here at CSJ. It's called the Cat Fool. We've been able to partner up with them, and so they've been selling it, and they get a little bit of the profits. We get a little bit of the profits, and it's just a much cleaner experience for everybody. And then the CAP plans. One of the plans that we do have for the cafeteria is that we'll finally be able to actually own the cafe. It'll be owned by IFSU. We're hoping to buy it. We're hoping to buy it so that we can. So we can hire our own student workers and stuff like that, and hopefully fill it up with food that people actually would want, and with affordable prices. So, and that's it for us. Are there any questions, comments, concerns?
We have just about 4 minutes for questions.
Cool. Absolutely, go for it.
Hello, thank you for the presentation, it was great. I have a question around, you talked a lot about transition from last year and how because of the turnover it was like kind of hard to accomplish that. Do you have any plans or like new plans in place for this year to ensure that your transition is stronger?
We're still working on that. We're definitely still working on that. We're hoping to talk a little bit more about it once the elections get a little bit closer. We're actually going to go over to Discover Governments to help us with some of the transition packages and stuff like that. And so, that's still in the works, but we definitely want to rectify that issue.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm just looking at that 80% up there and thinking, like, pretty good. So I'm speaking as, like, I guess, a VP academic for my faculty association. Like, so what are some strategies that do you use to, like, have such, good social media?
Honestly, we just adopted sort of, like, the UASU events sort of tactic where we're putting it on more different platforms and stuff like that. So instead of it just being on Facebook, we're also using Instagram, and we're also it was like the idea of like 3 points of contact, so like social media, posters, and emails and stuff like that. And so we've just been able to reach a larger amount of people. And that was mainly within like the second semester. During our first semester, it was a lot more difficult, but we really hit our stride within at the beginning of our second semester. And that's why the festival you got now was so well attended, just because a lot of the outreach was. Yeah. Any other questions, comments, concerns, declarations of love?
What would you request from Students Council to help out in any of these things?
Possibly, I'd probably ask Student Council maybe to help out with some of our advocacy stuff, and also just to maybe make council a little bit more inviting to CSJ students by having some posters like just talking about council, and the fact that we can come to these meetings and stuff like that whenever we want. A lot of students don't really know that, and a lot of students don't really know that their voice can be heard within presentations like this, and if they want to talk to the higher levels of student governance, then they need to know that this is one of the best equipments, right? So that's definitely one of the things that
other questions?
All right, thank you very much for the presentation. We will return to our agenda. We'll now go into the executive committee reports. Is there any members of the executive who wish to deliver a report? Vice President Brown, go ahead.
Okay. I've emailed everyone my report in English because while we're at CSJ, I'd like to do my report in French. Donc, c'est dans vos courriels si vous voulez la suivre. J'aimerais remercier les autres qui sont venus au campus Saint-Jean aujourd'hui. C'est vraiment bon que le conseil étudiant puisse venir ici au moins une fois par année. J'aimerais aussi remercier les étudiants, les membres du conseil qui ont participé dans la campagne de santé mentale de CASA, l'Alliance canadienne des associations étudiantes. On a eu une vraiment bonne réponse de partout au pays. J'ai fait au moins 4 entrevues médias. J'en ai une autre demain. Donc, il y a beaucoup de discussions qu'on a faites à travers le pays sur ces sujets de santé mentale et de ce que le gouvernement fédéral a besoin de faire pour nous autres. On commence cette semaine de collecter les corps brisés, puis on espère de les envoyer au gouvernement fédéral par la fin de la semaine. Aussi, j'aimerais remercier le conseiller et le coordinateur de notre campagne pour engager le vote, Stephen Rates, pour sa campagne jusqu'à date. Les derniers écoutes de jour, j'ai eu l'opportunité de faire du tabling avec eux autres au campus Nord, puis de vraiment engager les étudiants. Les matériels, l'approche qu'il a faite dans cette campagne a été vraiment bon résultat, puis ça, c'est une bonne approche que les étudiants aiment discuter. On a eu au moins, je pense jusqu'à date, 3200 engagements à voter. C'est un vraiment bon nombre, puis on espère d'être entre 5000 ou 6000 par la journée d'élection. On a fait l'Assemblée publique ici la semaine passée pour discuter la mesure politique du campus Saint-Jean et que je travaille à l'instant. J'ai eu vraiment de la bonne rétroaction, du bon feedback sur ça. J'espère de la terminer par la fin de cette semaine, mais il y a des vraiment bonnes idées autour des changements. Oui, je vais terminer vite. Finalement, on a des rencontres avec des candidats des partis politiques qui s'en viennent pour l'élection provinciale. On espère d'engager autant de candidats que possible avant l'élection provinciale. Merci.
Thank you, Mr.
Speaker. I just wanted to apologize to council. My report was on the late ads with a long week last week. I generally just forgot to submit it. Here we are. Aside from that, I just want to highlight that this week and over the next coming weeks, the budget process for the University of Alberta will be kicking into full gear. We've reported quite regularly within my written reports, but to give everybody a kind of a brief outline. The university is going with a 0% budget increase again with the same explanations. They are also looking at 2.77% increase in international students, 5% rate increase in residents, and a CPI increase in meal plans. These numbers do largely align with the three-year predicted model from last year, except for international student tuition costs, which are slightly lower than predicted. Further, it is important to note that this budget cycle and within the next 6 months, the Students' Union and the University of Alberta will have to come up with a system in which to talk about mandatory non-instructional fees, exceptional tuition increases, and what international student cohort prices for incoming students as well as current international students will be. So far, the conversations have been largely around providing as much predictability in cost as possible. We are pushing for a CPI model for international students, particularly the current cohort, and we hope that that will be the answer that the university provides. I do hope that everybody keeps their ears to the ground, and I'll continue to provide reports. We'll have a much clearer look following this Friday as the comprehensive institutional plan's first drafts will start coming into government.
Thank you, President Larson. Any other members of the executive wish to make a report? Like President Bourgeois.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last week, the East Campus Students Association kicked off their first event now that they have an executive team, and they had like 100 people show up. So big props to them for getting that going. We've been working on that since September. And the Newton Place Residents Association is gearing up for an election for a new executive coming up by the end of this term. So it's like we'll have all the residents associations in full swing by the end of the year. Yeah, that's about all. Also, yeah, I sent in my report, but it didn't make it to the regular one, so now it's on the late ads. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President Bourgeois. Other members of the executive wish to make a report? Vice President Ripka.
Okay, bonjour tout le monde. Je n'ai pas pratiqué comme VP Brown, alors je vais juste faire ça improvisé. Ne rigolez pas, merci. alors, comme vous savez, j'ai travaillé beaucoup de mon temps été sur le Student Spaces Lobby, mais ça n'a pas marché. Alors, je suis en train de faire un debrief avec mon équipe pour faire des recommandations pour le prochain UPR Squad. Et aussi, je sais que AOFSJ est en train de parler avec notre business manager pour voir s'il peut trouver une solution pour le cafétéria, et j'ai hâte pour voir s'il puisse trouver quelque chose. Et autre que ça, je pense avec CSG, on a aussi les affiches pour le nuit de karaoké à Dewey's en français. Comment vous regardez ça? Alors, on a besoin d'aussi imprimer ça et afficher ça. Okay, really quickly in English, just talking about how there was no success with the Student Spaces Lobby, so now we're doing a big debrief to give some recommendations to my successor as to possible solutions forward. And I think that we'll probably come to council after elections are over to kind of just solicit your intellect as to solutions that you might see that maybe we are overlooking. So if you have ideas, please keep them in mind. Also, the CSJ cafeteria, as Sinpam has mentioned in his presentation, is running into some issues. So they have been talking to our business manager to see if they can find a solution that would work for both parties. And so I'm excited to see if anything does work for fall 2019. And finally, we have some translated posters for Dewey's karaoke, which need to be printed and put up on SUTV. They look pretty good, but I'm not super great with French, so I have to get like a million people.
Thank you, President Ripka. Vice President Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. So, I was part of the process of making a recommendation for transfer credits on campus. And a large advocacy push that we've had recently is that our academic advisors do not understand how to disseminate information regarding transfer credits specifically. And we saw this a lot through the academic advising survey that we filled out. Specifically, Kampu St. John had a lot of thoughts about transfer credits because this committee is now going to be looking into how students transfer within faculties, but also how students can transfer from other institutions to the University of Alberta. So going forward, I'm really happy to see this happening at the university level, and I'm happy to say that the recommendations were to create a transfer credit articulation, a transfer credit administration committee, TCAC. We're going to put that under the General Faculties Council Standing Committees pretty soon, so that'll be exciting. The Alberta Anti-Racism Framework Consultation, whatever that was.
Yesterday.
It was an interesting meeting with Minister Aiken. Unfortunately, there was not that much about post-secondary education in that document, so if you do see it coming around anywhere, please provide that feedback, as we also did. Tomorrow, the General Faculty Council Nominating Committee is going to be talking about ways that we can better replenish students on all of our committees, specifically committees that relate to Campus St. John students. So a lot of our committees right now have one CSJ administration rep, but no French students. So we're going to be talking about that, and I think that's very timely as we're here today. And last but not least, I'm going to Stride again on Thursday for our last session regarding self-care and support. So if any Striders, if you see them around anytime, there's one here today who was here and had to leave. But I'm going to be working a lot with how we can support candidates during the election season in terms of mental health. And so Looking forward to the rest of the meeting. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Ms. President Battingar. I'm moving into board and committee reports. Is there anyone from ARC who can deliver a report on behalf of Councillor Sunday? Someone? Vice President Bourgeois.
Thank you very much. We are continuing work on the mission, vision, values for the ARC recommendations. And I believe we should be finishing up and sending that back to Stalling for time so I can find the email from Nathan. Yes, we will be sending it, I believe, to council a little soon. On our agenda this week is, we're going to have a discussion with some staff about some operational recommendations and continue on. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. President Bourgeois. Councillor Stapp for Audit Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So Audit Committee has not met since last meeting. However, we are meeting tomorrow. We have a couple items on the agenda, so that's exciting. Hopefully for the next, possibly for the next council meeting, to actually have some specifics to bring to council with regards to what's left for us to do and how things are tracking along to be hopefully finished at the end of the year. But that's everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Staff. Is there anyone from Bylaw Committee who can report on behalf of Councillor Kim? Vice President Richter.
Bylaw has not met since the last time we had a council meeting, but our next meeting will be held on February 13th, and I believe the committee is fairly busy, so a lot of work to be done.
Thank you, Vice President Ripka. Governor Flyman for council administration.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Council admin met last Tuesday. We identified some winter goals that we're going to be pursuing for the rest of our terms, one of those being the completion of our committee reviews from the last term, the standing orders review that has been ongoing. We'd like to wrap that up soon. And President Larson has graciously offered to bundle up our suggestions from the talking circle into a presentation type format soon, so be on lookout for that. And that's pretty much it. If you have any questions, just let me know.
Thank you, Governor Flanagan. President Larson for Executive Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Executive Committee has met twice. We didn't pass any formal motions. Apologies. We did pass a formal motion, which is a PA for open house. That was in September. It took a bit of time, but there were some extra costs to some materials that you had requested, and particularly materials related to This Is Your SU campaign. So all of the county came forward with that, and we passed a motion to cover some of those costs. We've also obviously nothing else much to report. I will have some items to bring up later today. The executive has been working on.
Thank you, President Larson. Vice President Ripka for Finance.
The most recent work that Finance Committee has done are the budget principles, which you can see attached to the agenda. There's a motion on today's order papers to approve them, so if you haven't taken a look, please do. So that's what we've been working on, and additionally, we have tried to take a look at the dedicated fee unit bylaws to make recommendations to bylaw committee as to processes that can be tightened a little bit just to streamline the process, make it easier for our partners with the DFUs to get their reporting in every year because the process is somewhat confusing right now. That being said, bylaw is kind of going to take a couple weeks off until, assuming that budget principles pass, until bylaw has the capacity to take those recommendations and then get them done. So, yes, thank you.
Because we're up good. Does NOMCOM have a chair yet? Has NOMCOM even met? Vice President Battingar.
Yeah, NOMCOM will soon be meeting to appoint a member of nominating committee or appoint a counselor to a Senate committee, so stay tuned.
Thank you, Vice President Battingar. I have a report from Councillor Rates on the live stream. Policy Committee has a few items to report. Committee last met last week, right before last council meeting. Updates from that meeting were provided then. Our next meeting is on February 12th from 5 to 6 p.m. before council. Any room is not decided. This meeting we will hopefully see a first reading of the CSJ policy. and a second reading of the engagement policy. Thank you, and I'll present I'll let present policy committee members answer questions if there are any. I can follow up if need be. Thank you, with a heart emoji. Oh, and the second reading of food policy is coming up as well. And Governor Plowman from the Board of Governors.
Haven't met since the last meeting. Nothing to report.
Thank you, Governor Plowman. Any other members of boards or committees who wish to make a report? Going once. Going twice. All right, seeing none, we'll conclude board and committee reports there. We will now go into our open forum. Do we have any guests of council who would like to ask a question of members? Those three people who are signed in. Mr. Lashas, go ahead.
First question to Vice President Student Life. Last year in your campaign, one of your points was to provide more addictions counseling and drug awareness programs on campus. Just wondering if there are any updates about this file.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Yeah, thanks for your question. So one of the updates on this file is this is located in, I believe it's the 3 to 5 year goal plan under the suicide prevention framework that the University of Alberta published. And also another thing that I found out was that currently the addiction services offered in Edmonton have one of the shortest wait times out of any mental health care facilities in the province. They're averaging under 2 week wait times. So I believe that it's appropriate that the university would have those as one of their 3 to 5 year goal plans. Thanks.
You look good, Bourgeois. Any further questions? Turner, go ahead.
My question is to Vice President Offsby. So now that the post office in Sun is going to be closed down, are there any ideas about what might fill that space?
Vice President Rivka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. So far, no. As you can see in the budget principles that are attached to the order papers, that is one of the principles, and what we're choosing to do is just leave it up to next year's executive team to fill it as they see fit. So it'll most likely go up for a request for proposal as any of our other spaces would. I imagine it being a pretty hot space to get because it's a really good location. So yeah, the executive team will have the freedom to fill it in a way that they see best.
Thank you, President Ropka. Any further questions? Mr. Lashas, go ahead.
Yeah, so recently the Edmonton Journal, Alberta Health Services published their annual opioid report, and the U of A hospital had the most amount of cases dealing with opioids. In the past, council has made comments suggesting about the possibility of naloxone kits being made available. Just wondering if there's anything being done on the opioid file at council, and I guess would this be UPSL?
Yeah.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Yeah, thank you for your question. So I actually did follow up with the Assistant Dean of Students Residence about this because it was mentioned in the campaign last year that RAs in Lister were not allowed to carry naloxone kits. Since then, I believe that that has been changed, and now all RAs within the Lister residents have naloxone kits. I think, please follow up with me after this though, because I'm not sure if that happened yet or if it's intended for the upcoming year that they'll all get naloxone training. Kits are in all of the bags on the shift actually. Last week, every RA got naloxone training.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President Bourgeois. Any further questions? All right. Seeing none, we'll conclude open forum there. We're moving to question period. Any council wish to ask a question? Councilor Bilak.
My question is for the President, President Weston. On Friday, I know in the morning, at like 8 a.m. for some reason, we have this like joint session for the new budget model for academic planning committee slash Board of Governors. And I'm looking forward to learning about it. But I'm just wondering, does the SU have a position on the new budget model coming in, or the new budget model being proposed?
President Larson.
Thank you for the question. We don't have a specific policy on the new budget model, but I would refer to our political policies in reference to tuition and academic costs. I can't remember the name of the policy itself, which basically outlines that we, one, always push for lowered student costs at all times, but two, we push for a predictable, stable, and, I can't remember the third term, affordable education, which basically means in all conversations and regarding the new budget model, we push that we use a predictable, stable, and affordable model for students. Generally, our position has been to push for CPI inside of anything that the university uses as an inflation index. So that's important because the University of Alberta new budget model will be using a number of different inflation indexes within it. Further, my personal take, and as a governor as well, the board, is the new budget model will probably be a very healthy practice for the University of Alberta in the long term. Right now, the current budget model doesn't have any sort of real system to it. It's called the incremental model, where every single year faculties are allocated money kind of how central admin wants to do it, plus or minus a couple of dollars. The new model will be a lot more transparent. It will be tied to students and to where students are actually studying. And it will also have a number of other flexible options for specific programs. So generally, I would say that our position is that within the new model, the Students' Union wants to see a predictable, stable, and affordable education for students, but we also do want to see a quality education, and we want this model to ensure those things happen. From what I can tell, that is likely to happen, and that is the current case, but we should always keep an eye on what the university is up to.
Thank you, President Larson. Any other questions? Governor Flam.
Question for either VP Ops Fi or VP Student Life, whoever can best answer. I was just wondering if there was any update as to the progress of opening an InfoLink location here at Campus Asia.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Thank you for your question. I do have updates on InfoLink coming to CSJ. We spoke earlier this week with Just and Christian from CSJ, who are currently working on their next year's budget, and they do want to open an InfoLink here. We've been working on this for like 4 months, and they want to have it by September. So at this point, we are checking to make sure that all of the costs and it'll fit within the budget of CSJ to make sure that this service gets here for September. Thanks.
Thank you, Vice President Bourgeois. Vice President Batner.
I have a question for the committee, or the chair of CAC. So at several council meetings, we've been discussing why Students Council doesn't use the reusable dish program. We had discussions starting in September. We also had a presentation on January 8th from the RDP program that dispelled a lot of the myths that you had and concerns around the program. So why is it that we're still waiting on a policy? And also, is this something that is going to be part of CAC's winter goals, because it was not mentioned and the minutes were not made available to read?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have a order placed to use the dishes throughout the remainder of the winter term, except for the couple of special meetings that we had that weren't part of that order. And because of the logistics of trying to get crates of dishes to CSJ, they unfortunately weren't able to bring them to this meeting. But for our meeting next week and for the rest of the meetings of the year, they should be there.
Thank you, Governor Flamin. Councillor Bowes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this question is for GP Academic. So do you consider GovLeak 2019 a success, and do you recommend SU to continue it in the upcoming years?
Vice President Badegar.
Thank you very much for the question. To answer bluntly, yes. I think that GovLeak 2019 was the most successful iteration of GovLeak yet. I am working on a report right now that will outline further recommendations for the future. I would recommend that GovLeak continues, because if GovLeak doesn't continue, there will be no service provided to students who are interested in getting involved in student leadership to have a space to connect. And so the next version of GovLeak can either be can be whatever the incoming vice president academic envisions it to be, but the mandate of the week is so strong that students on this campus are wanting to get involved in governance and they just don't know how to do it. So I will hopefully have that report for you by next council. We're just waiting on the data analytics of the surveys that we gave out. But yeah, looking forward to GovWeek 2020.
Thank you, Vice President Bettingar. Any further questions from council? Going once, going twice. All right, we'll conclude question period there then. We'll move into board and committee business, beginning with our item from the late additions. I believe this is a typo. This should be Councilor Lee, seconded by Vice President Brown. We move on behalf of the policy committee to approve the first reading of the food policy. As Councilor Lee is not here, Vice President Brown would like to introduce the item. Oh, yes, he is. He is back there now.
He is here.
Councilor Lee, you have the floor.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Apologies, I was not here earlier. Apparently, cars don't like this letter very much. But so, anyways, this is the first reading of the new food policy, which you should all have available to read. Just a couple things to note about this. There were a number of changes that were suggested at bylaw committee, which will be implemented for the second reading. And also, there are a number of statistics and precise details that I'm going to be adding into a bunch of the facts for a second reading that I wasn't able to get before first reading. And lastly, the second reading is going to include recognition of the types of meal plans and food options that exist here at CSJ and at Augustana. So don't worry if you look through this policy and do not see them mentioned, they will be in the second reading. If anyone else has any other questions, I would be happy to answer them.
Thank you very much, Councilor Lee. Now I'll move forward to debate on this motion. Vice President Ripka.
I have more like a point of information. I just have a question about what you said about the facts that weren't added, but you plan on adding them for the second reading. I get a little confused about like when we approve a second reading, it's just to make sure it reflects the first reading, but if it wasn't in the first reading, like how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I mean is not that we are, actually, sorry, is this my...
Yeah, there's no one else wishing to speak unless so you can go.
Okay, yeah, so that does not mean that there are going to be like actual new items within the facts. It just means that, for example, where it says like food insecurity at the University of Alberta is significantly higher than Canada as a whole, which is fact two, that's gonna have an actual statistic in it, but it still means the same thing. So the current number that I'm probably going to use now in a meeting I just had a few days ago is gonna be food insecurity at the University of Alberta is about 20% higher than in Canada as a whole. So that's an example of the kind of thing that's going to happen, but there aren't going to be any statistics in here or facts, well, sorry, not facts, but any statistics in here that don't reflect the meaning that is already written here. It's just going to be an increase in specificity.
Okay.
Thank you, Councilor Lee. Anyone else wish to be added to the speaker list? Going once. And President Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to state my support for this policy. When I was running for this position last year, I was asked in the Meyer Horowitz Forum about the renewal of this policy, of which I knew nothing about. And so I'm really glad to have seen the work that Councillor Lay has put into this. I think it's a very good reflection of where we're at. So I will be voting strongly in favor.
We have one thing from the live stream, and then I'll get to you, Vice President Bettinger. From Councillor Rates in the live stream. He says, I would like to speak in favor of this motion. Rowan has put a considerable amount of work into the update of this policy. He has engaged several stakeholders from across campus. The amendments between the first and second reading to include these facts will support the direction this policy is taking. And then in all caps, yay. Vice President Bettinger.
Yeah, thank you for all the work you've been doing on this policy. I do have a quick question just so we can discuss something. A lot of people have brought their feedback who live in residence and who live on campus or who come to campus or study students, that there isn't enough cultural food on campus to access, so students from diverse backgrounds have limited access to the food that they want to see. Do you think that this policy reflects the need for that, or do you think that it needs to have more
support? Yes, so that's specifically mentioned in here. It's not its own resolution, but you can see one of the main changes from the old version to the new version
is, for example, under 0.5 in facts, we've added culturally appropriate as one of the criteria for types of food that is not sufficiently available on campus. If you scroll down to resolutions, if you scroll down to resolution one, we've added cultural to religious and medical needs for types of food that should be available on campus. So while it is not its own resolution, it has been worked into the resolutions that existed in the previous policy to put it on the same, like in the same part of the policy that we talk about things like allergies and health needs and things like that.
Thank you, Councilor. Just a reminder, if you'd like to speak, please wait till you're given the floor to speak.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker.
It's okay. Anyone else wishing to debate the motion? And once. Yeah. Mr. President Bourgeois.
Just like speaking to food and cultural food, there's a new program coming to Lister this year because they've gotten a lot of feedback specifically about that, where students were mentioning that they didn't like certain dishes or that dishes didn't reflect their cultural needs. So students are now able to submit a recipe from like their home or like that their mom used to cook or something, and then it'll be evaluated by one of the chefs, and then they'll actually cook that dish for you, like as it was cooked in wherever you grew up. So, hype, sick program. That's cool.
President,
I want to speak in support of the policy. I just want also to take this opportunity to speak about a couple of facts surrounding food security. Across Canada, food security on campuses is on the decline. We know this to be a fact. Generally, we know that people are accessing the food bank on campus more and more every given day. We also know that with every tuition increase or cost increase on campus, food bank usage spikes. We also know that the users of the campus food bank are quite diverse. However, some of the largest demographics include international students, as well as students who parent and other vulnerable populations. I think it's very important that the UASU continues the support of the campus food bank, also that we thank them for all their hard work on this front, as well as thank a lot of our ongoing advocacy organizations who work tirelessly on food security.
Thank you, President Larson. Anyone else wishing to speak? Councillor Lee.
And just one minor note on what President Larson said. Another change from the previous policy to this policy is specific recognition for the campus food bank and a resolution saying that the Students' Union should work with partner organizations to reduce the food insecurity. So,
thank you very much, Councillor Lee. Anyone else wishing to speak? Go once. Go twice. All right, we'll close debate there and go into voting on the motion. If you are, the rest can just be a placard, it's easy enough. All in favor? Those of you in the live stream, just send me a yes or a no. The plate is hilarious. Thank you very much. You can put your hands down. Any opposed? And that with unanimously passes. All right, we'll return to our main agenda. That concludes our late additions. We'll go on to the second item in Board of Committee business. Brown moves to approve the first reading of the Student Employment Political Policy. Is there a second for this motion? Vice President Battinger, thank you. Vice President Brown, would you like to introduce the motion?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, thank you. So this is a policy that Councillor Bielak and I have worked on. It's a pretty solid revamp compared to what was there before. Reiterating some of the current positions that haven't been moved on, such as certain changes that we've been asking for years around student employment programs, but also expanding it to include things like skills training, similar to a current system happening in Quebec. We've also expanded to things like 0.6 in resolutions, the Students' Union will advocate for employment opportunities in both English and French that are geographically accessible to students. That applies a little bit more to Campus Saint-Jean. Students who study in French should have the opportunity to work in French. We've also included a little bit of some stronger wording for international students and the challenges they face, largely be, largely due to visas and permits and the number of hours that they're limited to. I'd also like to thank ARC for the direction that they helped give us in incorporating Indigenous student resolutions into here. Specifically in Resolution 1, the First Nations and Inuit Summer Work Experience Program, which from the research I've done is fairly similar to the Canada Summer Jobs Program. And quite frankly, I don't know why we haven't advocated about this program ever federally. So I hope to, I'm bringing this this program specifically to CASA as soon as possible. I believe those are the larger changes in there. So looking forward to some good and healthy, wholesome debate.
Thank you, Vice President Brown. Legal Counsel Bilak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to say I'm very much in favor of this as well, as BP Brown and I wrote it. We spent a lot of time on it also, so I'm very proud of how it turned out. I think that we really took a much more holistic approach to the meaning of employment, especially when it comes to student employment, expanding, even like going beyond when you're just a student here, but how can we support students who are, you know, leaving university or students who want to work in the summer. I think we really tried to get, I feel like there's something in here for everybody in a lot of different ways. I just think it's a lot more holistic, and I'm really happy with the work, and I hope you all vote yes on this.
Thank you, Councillor Bilak. Councillor Hiddush.
Okay, this is a very selfish little question, but I think I'm going to vote in favor because it's amazing, but just something that would be good to focus on or keep an eye on is students at CSJ in science do not have access to the science internship program at main campus, which is crap. So maybe adding a bit about like cross-faculty like cooperation or something, that would be a good place to do it, maybe the next time you look at this policy. But
thank you, Councillor Douche. More live stream from Councillor Rates. I'd like to speak in favor of this motion. Adam and Robert have invested a considerable amount of this year into the update of this policy. It is thoroughly based in facts and takes into account several new perspectives that were not present from before. I love this, it is good. Anyone else wishing to speak? Going once? Going twice? All right, we will close debate in the motion there. All in favor? Any opposed? There's some typing happening. And unanimously, motion carries. All right. We'll now move into our next one. This is a good one. RIPCA moves to approve the 2019-2020 budget principles. Before we get into this, because we only do budget once and we haven't done this before, I'm just going to give a quick intro on how this works. You can find the political or the process, legislative process for the budget is item 13 in the standing orders. Very similar to that of a policy or a bylaw, think of the budget principles kind of like the first reading. They are the core fundamentals of what is going to go into the budget. And later on, Vice President Rifka will give us the actual budget for us to vote on. Okay, but this is your opportunity to actually determine where you think the money should go. Is there a second for this motion? Governor Plyman. Vice President Rifka, you have the floor.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you for giving that quick little summary about what the budget principles are used for. So, like the speaker said, they are the foundational points that set the basis for the budget that will later come probably in March. So overall, it's really easy to say that an organization is at an exciting period of growth, but it's pretty dangerous if you say that year after year after year after year. Imagine a cow growing, but their legs don't grow. What will happen? It will fall over. So this term is referred to as bloat, and that's something that the Strategic Planning Committee has been talking about a lot, and it's easy to want to build all the departments, but what matters more than quantity within a department or quantity of department is quality. And so these budget principles kind of lay a foundation of a period of not growth, particularly in light of current political horizons and trying to take a proactive approach to what might be the future of student associations around the province. And so we're trying to invest our money into non-fee-reliant resources or revenue sources, as well as really pushing marketing, because it's one of our mandates to, you know, provide all of these great services to our members. But if our members don't know about the services, then the fees that they do pay are essentially useless. So I hope that you have all had the chance to take a look at them. You can see just like some preliminary factors at the beginning, and then it starts with the actual principles. The ones that are new, you can see, are in green. The ones that are edited are in orange, or says beside in orange. And then the ones that we have removed, a lot of the ones we've removed were just because of the projects that were from last year that were completed. And so that's been removed. I think that's all I had to say, but please do ask any questions and we will try to answer them as best we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Ripka. I'll now move forward to debate on this item. Councilor Hanouch.
I don't know anything about budget, and I don't know if this would go in the operating model, the difference, but I'm curious as to if, like, you have, like, all the bits of, like, the businesses and stuff. It would be possible for there to be support from ESU financially to go towards the CSJ cafeteria. Because when I talked with the director of CREG, it seemed more of as like, this is what you can do if you have the money to do this, whereas we don't. So is there a way that, I don't know what budget thing this would go in, or if it's even relevant now, but is there a way to like have financial support from ESU?
Anyone else wishing to speak? President Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to speak in favor of the budget principles as outlined. I will reiterate VP Brown's point in particular about funds being allocated to develop non-fee-reliant revenue drivers, as well as the newer line on SULK funds to improve branding, marketing, communications with members. One, for people's information, I do see a lot of really interesting and cool new revenue drivers in the UASU's coming years. Two things I'll highlight just so people know about them going forward is one, a thing called SUTV. It is a service on campus that gives kind of the overlay on TV. If you've seen any TV on campus, like one of ours, that network has grown exponentially over the last year. I think we're up to something like 175 screens. We have three partner institutions, and hopefully it's going to be a nationwide network within the next 3 to 4 years. So I'm very excited for that sort of project, and it could be a replacement for revenues that are currently coming things from like printing. Printing is currently one of our greatest revenue drivers, but I don't foresee a future in which printing might always be one of the greatest revenue drivers. On the branding, marketing, and communications with members, I think that everybody in this room has talked about engagement at some point in time. A critical piece of engagement is communication, making sure that we are able to routinely communicate. I'm very happy with the investments that have already been made, but they were, I would say, not necessarily test pilots, but they were like our first kind of forays into it, including new social media staff, as well as increased marketing capacity for things like rebranding. We are looking at doing long-term rebranding exercises in which all services, instead of just kind of randomly doing it, will be on a rotating basis, and I think that this is exponential. I will let VP Ripka speak to answering the question, but my general sense is that when when our business manager says that there isn't necessarily the funds or what can be done to support, I think he generally means that we're happy to help build business cases to generally come up with a solution, but us running the outlet itself may not be something that is financially viable. That is something that obviously needs to be explored over the coming year, particularly if we're going to find a food solution for campus in general.
Thank you, President Larson. Bill, who should speak? Vice President Ripka.
Yes, so this is responding directly to Councillor Kadusha's inquiry about CSJ. President Larson did a pretty good job of an overview. It's tricky with businesses, particularly with not-for-profit. Are you running a business? Are you running a service? The dream would be that they break even, but we know that all of the businesses don't at this moment. So CSJ is a new opportunity, a new challenge also. On a temporary basis, I can't speak particularly for long term because I won't be around, so I can't overpromise next year's exec. But what you can look into is the SU has a sponsorship fund that you could potentially look into applying for, so I can follow up with you after. But I think the most proactive approach would be any of your pals that you know are running for executive, this would be a great issue to bring up with them. Because like I said, I won't be here, so it's not me that will be the decision maker anymore, but definitely look into people that you think or you know that are potentially running for this. You could spin it many ways, like whether an OxFi business oriented thing or like a social issue, that's a food policy kind of thing. So maybe a student life, I don't know. It's all hypotheticals for sure, but that would be my word of advice.
Thank you, Vice President Ripka. Anyone else wishing to speak? Councillor Stapp?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak in favor of this motion as well. I made a brief regret to you yesterday or today to get down. And I really quite liked it, especially the point about improving funding towards marketing. One of the weaknesses as identified in the Strategic Planning Committee was that the SU oftentimes lacks as strong of a communication base as it could have. So I think allocating more funding to that is a great idea. And as to the rest of the points, and
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. By and large, I'm in favor. They generally seem pretty solid. We were able to pair out all the things that don't really apply anymore. The only thing that really somewhat concerns me a little bit is the funds to be allocated to the non-fee reliant revenue drivers. President Larson talked about SUTV a little bit. And in the past, I was pretty excited about us developing the technology and shopping it around. But I think if we were to start selling or licensing to other, say, student unions, for example, then they become less of our partners and more of our customers or clients. And I think if something were to happen and something goes south, then we start damaging our relationship with other partner organizations. It's just something that I think people should be aware of.
Thank you, Dr. Flavin. Vice President Batnagar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you very much, Vice President Ripka, for working really hard on this. These look really great, and I will also be voting in favor. I was wondering, though, if you could expand actually a little bit on Principle 11, the funds will be allocated to develop non-fee-reliant revenue drivers. Could you maybe expand on what's already been done and what you think your hopes are for the future?
Yes.
Vice President Ripka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. Yeah, this is a really exciting principle, and it's pretty broad, intentionally so, because as we know with potential political policies that could be put in place, as we see in Ontario, being less reliant on fees is the dream. So as President Larson said, SUTV is a big one that we've been working on. I think, I don't know how many partners we have so far, but they've signed a couple new contracts with different SUs around the country, which is really great because the money comes from external people. It's from like ad sources instead of fees, which is awesome. Also, we have a couple different software programs that we've developed in-house, such as our registries, which currently at the U of A are not, I will say, are not reaching their full potential, such as housing registry, volunteer registry, exam registry, a lot of things that are just kind of dormant right now simply because of the capacity issues that I've been talking about, but they're really great programs, so great that I think that they could be monetized. So that's another thing that we could share around to our other SU partners. Also, there's like a booking program that's been developed at the SU, so it's mostly IT-based. But then this principle is also broad enough to cover our businesses also. So anything that's a revenue generator right now could just try to be strengthened and invested in to hopefully turn a profit, thereby decreasing reliance on fees.
Thank you, Vice President Repka. Anyone else wishing to speak to the motion? Going once. Going twice. Councilor Bielak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know why I raised that fund. I just want to say I think that there's a lot of really great opportunity for the Canada Post outlet is currently now. And I just wish there was like a really quickly growing industry that sold drugs that was that
was blunt.
That's my two cents.
Thank you, Councilor Bielak. Anyone else wishing to speak to the item? Going once. Going twice. And we will close debate there. All right. With that, all in favor of the budget principles presented. Any opposed? I'll give those of you in the live stream a couple seconds to type your answers in. And motion carries unanimously. All right, that concludes our board and committee business. It is 7:27. Yes.
So I noticed that the motion that about the exec compensation committee was not tabled correctly onto this agenda.
You're right, it wasn't.
However, the terms of reference are on the agenda, so I was just wondering if this speaker would like.
As it should have been written on here, we will move it and we can bring it up in this because the information item is on here, yet for some reason the motion is not, which is odd. I was told that would be happening. I will address that. However, because it should have been tabled and the information item is on here, and it's something that I think needs to happen before the end of the term, and or as soon as possible. If you would like, I'm willing to allow it onto the agenda for today.
If there's no opposition.
Everyone's okay with that? Okay. Like I said, I will address items not being tabled, because I believe President Larson's motion for in-camera discussion political strategy was not carried over either. So with that, we will recess a couple minutes early, and then we'll come back and return to our general orders after our recess.
Hey, are those the only two items left?
There are two items left, but I believe the discussion President Larson wishes to have may be a little bit lengthy.
Okay.
So, President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Batnagar.
Present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Ripka.
Here.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Yep.
Governor Flamin.
Plaisant.
And Councillor Lynn is not here. Councillor Anderson?
Yeah.
Councillor Rates is still here. Councillor Mo'ale? Councillor Hosseini? Councillor Bielak?
Here.
Councillor Qatar? Councillor Leach?
Here.
Councillor Hussein. Councillor Stapp.
Here.
Councillor C is in the live stream. Councillor Ansari. Councillor Yao. Councillor Rosalind. No longer here. Councillor Bose.
Here.
Councillor Adwan is in the live stream. Councillor Hanasek is in the live stream. Councillor Chung is in the live stream. Councillor Ahmad is in the live stream. Councillor Sunday. Councillor Nguyen. Councillor Aizuki is in the live stream. Councilor Hadouche?
Yep.
Councilor Kim? Councilor DePinto? He's no longer here. Councilor Agarwal? Councilor Risby is in the live stream. Councilor Bruce is not here. And Councilor Belcourt? Councilor Belcourt?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Recess for 15.
State of the Union's happening. The State of the Union's happening. Yes, it's tonight.
Is he live tweeting this meeting too?
What?
Is he live tweeting this meeting as well? There's not much spice on
this.
No,
this one. The last just my luck. I happen to be behind somebody, so there's you and. But I'm hidden.
Well, I've been like out of the frame for all of what was taken by Gateway this entire year, which is I like that. That's the reason I'm supposed to be the Vermont Council. But
well, you're still just as instrumental in how we.
Maybe, but the students don't need to see my. They need to see the council and their fighting commitment, but they don't need to see mine there. I'm gonna see if there's a water fountain outside.
Thank you. I was so lost. I was walking around, couldn't figure out where the heck I was.
You found the tunnel and everything?
What?
You found the tunnel?
Nope. I ended up outside in the back of some building. Like, holy moly, I was very lost.
That was me my first time here, too. Oh. I ended up like going to the front door. It was locked, and then I kept going around. And good thing I showed up way early.
Yeah, like I was racing because I had another thing that I had to be at just before this. And I came down, I was like, I've been here before, I know where I'm going. Pulled in, then the reader wasn't working to pay. And then I was running around, got lost. I was out back somewhere. I was like, where am I?
Oh, you made it.
Made it. Found my way. Yeah, that was campus very well.
No, I showed up. I was here about just before 4. Okay, just hanging out in the cafeteria here for a while. I had nothing else going on. And it, like, I guess, like office hours, like I threw on something. And come say hi. Do you have any questions about governance? Nobody took me on.
But me as well.
Yeah,
it's not a bad idea. You got nothing else to do? You come here early and do work here?
Yeah, I got some stuff. I had a good term in the morning, so I'm hoping this doesn't go too late.
You want to set over the white pier too?
Yeah, that's me too. Yeah. Drive home, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Leather.
Yeah, just crash here, drive home in the morning.
Well, other than 8:30 classes.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a thing.
Yeah, I have an 8 a.m. class for the first time ever.
Really? For the first time?
Yeah.
How did you avoid that?
Why, just
so long?
Well, because I've only been part-time, too.
Oh, okay. So you can be a little bit more choosy then.
Yeah.
So I guess also, like, Augustana is kind of, you have to take this class, and it's only offered this one semester.
Oh, really?
Super limited.
No, I... What's up, Jared? No, definitely not like that.
I've had everything from 8 a.m.s to night classes that go till 9 p.m.
Oh, yeah, I've had a few of those, too. Those aren't fun.
It's really fun when they're in the same day.
Oh, yeah.
8 a.m. till 9 p.m.
they had a couple years ago. I started work at 8.
Yeah.
And then got off, and I had like class till 9. And the more than words, I'd be dozing off halfway through.
They're long days. Oh, well.
I got through it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for helping me.
Or if there's like, I don't know, we should get a nail place on campus. Yeah, but that's true. We should get a nail place in the new kind of post area.
You know, I haven't been to Campus St. John prior to this.
Really?
I've had no reason to visit.
You don't necessarily need a reason to visit, just come visit.
I don't have time to go about visiting random places for no other reason than, like, I don't know, a touristy experience in my own city.
There's plenty of places that I've never been.
I'm sure. Same with you. Okay, it's fine.
Really? Yeah. So, yeah. Probably next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All the people who don't care is going to be the and then they'll be like, these people are super supportive but won't say anything because they don't want to get
the easy.
So,
yeah, that's me. Not put me between the
drugs. I can't believe I made it. That was for you. I was fishing with you. And I ran into it. I didn't want.
How's it going, sir?
Very well.
It's pretty good.
Planning how I'm going to get back to main campus because my car won't start in this weather.
How'd you get here?
I took the last shuttle. Yeah. But they end so early. Like, oh my gosh. Like, when you go to North Campus at this time of night, there's people everywhere. They're walking about, they're going to classes. But, like, I guess Campus in Toronto quiets down quite.
They don't have night classes here, I don't think. That's the reason why. Just get a taxi and give the receipt to GG and be like, I had to go to work.
Did you hear the DG office got burgled?
What? No, I actually did not hear this. What?
They did, of course, in the summertime, there's an attempted burglary. Like, they tried to go into, like, the washroom and crawl through the ceiling to get into the office, but they failed because there's, like, actually, like,
a wall.
Yeah, exactly. But, Rebecca sent out an email. She's like, someone has broken in and taken, opened up my locked cabinet and desk drawers and taken the payroll slips, which include bank account numbers. So you can withdraw money using direct debit, just like direct deposit.
Yeah,
so like that was the risk for anyone's bank account numbers who works for DG, so I had to like switch my bank account.
Wow, I actually did not hear about that. That must have been all self-contained then, or got figured out, but wow, I didn't know that.
So I guess the UAPS is investigating, because they have to try
I can't believe I'm hearing this from you. What the heck? How have I not heard about this? That's wild.
I know. I hope, nothing
I
else.
I bet you Akinksha knows. She just didn't bother to tell
me. No, I told Akinksha earlier today, and I saw her along the way while I was walking to class. So,
yeah. That's amazing. Is that the first time she heard about it, too?
Yep, it was.
Wow. I'm going to have to bug Rebecca and be like, you just dealt with it?
I don't know how they got into the office in the first place, because they had to access the locked cabinet and drawer to her desk. But why was the office door unlocked when no one was there? That's the question.
Who knows? Really
I don't know the context. I didn't ask for specifics because it really doesn't matter for me. I'm not investigating it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. Yeah. I'm going to go ask Keisha right now.
Yeah. Is that the Google Pixel? What is that?
What?
Yeah, what's that phone?
Note 9.
Oh.
I think it's almost big enough to be the Google Pixel. And the Pixel 3 is supposed to be coming out soon.
I've never seen one in person. One of the Google phones.
Oh, no.
But Google products are so reliable. Like the ones that I use on a regular basis, Drive, Gmail, Calendar, etc. So I imagine their phones are also good quality.
Jimmy had a Pixel 1, and he really liked it. Oh, the trees out are.
It's very Apple-ish. Like, it's trying to be like an iPhone. Yeah.
Imitate the best, I guess.
Yeah.
One minute.
General orders. So I'll do this one first, then we'll go to the ad hoc committee on executive compensation item, and then we will go to President Larson's item, motion to move the camera. So Vandegar moves to discuss feedback for the user interface of the Universal Student Ratings and Instruction Database aligned with the Quality Instruction Political Policy. This is not something that's going to be voted on, does not require a second. Vice President Battenberg, would you like to introduce this? Go to the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'm really excited to discuss the Universal Student Rating of Instruction Database. As I emailed you all via your emails, please check them. I linked you to the actual place where you can check the database, so I hope everyone had a chance to check it out. The reason I linked it is because it's impossible to find. It's like really, really hard to figure out where it sits, and I think that's a lot of where this discussion stems from. So in the Quality Instruction Political Policy and in the campaign last year, we talked a lot about accessibility of this database, and so I just wanted to have a conversation around people's feedback regarding the interface, things they like to see, things they love, things they hate, and I'll just take all the notes I possibly can while you speak, and I will bring these to create a certain report because you have confirmation that the IST office is going to be revamping this pending feedback from us, basically. So Jeff Rawlings there said, as long as I give him the feedback, he will do it, quote unquote. So we just have to give him our thoughts. Obviously, I have very hot takes, but I'd love to hear more holistic thoughts. I'll also be following up with a survey of some sort, whether it be the council to all students or for specific faculties. That's to be decided. So I will just open up to the floor to see initial thoughts, and I'll
write
them down as you see fit. And that is it.
Thank you, President Battenberg. We'll be with President Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My universal thoughts is the entire front end is trash. There is no search system. Generally, the most of the systems could be reworked, be a lot more user friendly. It's just even odd to start by looking over program here. You don't necessarily know as a student which program is going to align with what you're looking for. So that's just a really weird way to start. After that, going into the next bit is difficult to find your exact course, just generally because search functions aren't great. And overall, the thing is just hard to read because it's just little random bolded bits instead of like an actual outline with buttons and whatnot. Generally, I think the entire thing could be updated, in particular the front end. I don't know how the back end works, but search function on the front page would be fantastic.
Thank you, President Larson. Vice President Bourgeois.
I sympathize a lot with what President Larson said. I would say that the entire thing should just get put in a carburetor and start over again. Like, the navigating the system is awful. Trying to find out any kind of sense about if your profs are going to be good or absolutely terrible is pretty much impossible. All of the data is laid out in, like, you'd have to have a degree in statistics to figure out anything about what your prof quality might be like. The comments are useless, if existent. Sample size is often too low to actually discern anything. No way to compare them against other classes. To select and compare two classes between one another to see if maybe one prof would be better than the other. like the point of the USRIs. Yeah, it's awful.
Thank you, Vice President Bourgeois. Any other comments? Councilor Staff.
I think besides the actual interface itself, one of the weaknesses of USRIs right now is most students don't even recognize it's for their use. I think through most of my university degree when I filled it out, I always assumed it was just for professor feedback for them to review later and be like evaluated on. So better communication to students that it's for their use, and then maybe students will actually access it, and the university will be more incentivized to invest in it moving forward. That's everything.
Thank you, Mr. Staff. Vice President Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I echo the comments said before. The only point that I will add is that I think this kind of database should be used in an advocacy format as well and shared with organizations like faculty associations who can hold the profs and their faculties accountable for the quality of instruction that they give. I was just pointing out to Callie behind me, she's the VP internal for IUFSG, an example in here of a prof that I had in first year who did not get very good marks in this survey at all. And so, you know, allowing faculty associations to get access to this so that they can push their faculty administrations to train their professors better so that students get a better quality of education, I think would be extremely useful to how education is delivered at the University of Alberta.
Thank you, Mr. President Brown. Anyone else wishing to? Councilor Hadoosh.
I'm just curious, as to being a CHA student, I cannot access the database in French, which would make it pretty hard for a completely francophone person who wants to know what kind of classes to take. And I don't even think very much prop is available in French. They would be stuck, and they probably wouldn't be too good.
That's what's called in political policy.
It's great to be back.
Thank you, Councilor Hadoosh.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to comment? President Larson.
I will say that as many people who say this is trash actually helps Acacia, so if you feel anything in there is bad, please do say so.
Councilor Anderson.
I can't figure out how to reset my search without going right back to the very beginning and clicking on your link.
Modify search!
Like.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Finding the USRIs, like, you have to be a private detective. It is impossible to locate on the University of Alberta website. They don't broadcast it or advertise that that's a service available, hardly at all. When you do go to the page, the link that's hyperlinked for you and, like, kind of bolded doesn't even take you to the right place. You have to scroll down, like, four more paragraphs to find the appropriate link. And it's super small, not even bold, same size as the rest of the text. No indication that that's actually going to lead you to the USRIs.
Councilor Bilak.
I totally agree. It's kind of trashy. Like, once I, like, the page that I'm on is where I choose the academic year. So I keep going, and there's this whole other page, and there's so much text, and that's assumed I'm definitely not going to read that. And so I just, like, sit here for a few minutes, try poking a few different things, and it doesn't work for me, and then I leave. So I think that it needs to be a lot more, like, user-friendly in instructions, providing it, like, in just more kind of accessible in these paragraphs on here.
Councilor Hadoosh.
I'm just looking at it right now. I googled USRI and I got to this one webpage, and there's two different links. There's one link that leads you to numerical data and then the other one to access comments. When I go to the comments one, I can't actually see any comments. I just see what class I was in when I completed it. And then there's like a percent survey submitted and it's just blank. So I don't know if maybe it's just me because I take a bunch of classes that are small at the issue, but I've also taken a course of like 300 people at least and there's no surveys there. So.
I don't
know what that, and also be good if they were on the same
link,
not
just Council Deuce, Council
Belcourt. Are we looking for like specific feedback, like specific pieces of curriculum? Okay. I think that it would be helpful if you were able to select more than 1 year, especially if you like don't know how many years. Like you're looking for like feedback for a specific prof. How are you supposed to know what specific years that they taught, if it's not consistent? I was just trying to find like a couple profs, like I just opened it now, and like I couldn't even find that I know have taught in the last like couple of years. And I think like, yeah, like more like user friendly, for example, if you literally just had a big button that said search. Because at first I was like, where do I go? That would be helpful.
The President Bourgeois.
Yeah, another piece of feedback. I think the current way the USRIs is organized tends to lead students to other services that are far less credible, such as Rate My Prof. And I'd much rather know if my prof is competent than whether or not they're attractive to the students who have taken their course and bothered to complete the US or the Rate My Prof thing. Also, I think that the Rate My Prof kind of encourages people that fill it out to either give a really positive review or a flamingly negative one. And there's actually no real mechanism to ensure that you're getting accurate data at all outside of, like, I don't know, the USRI system that was grounded in real social methodology or something.
Thank you very much. Councilor Lee.
Just to clarify, so I know department chairs get all the USRI results. Do they see them through this same interface? And do they get access to, like, just the same amount of information that we have here? So obviously you're making important decisions based on this information, and this is like some amateur hour evening's website. I'd be very disappointed if that was the case.
What does it matter?
Thank you for all the feedback that everyone's been giving. This is great. It is your time to just rant about the system. This is what we need. Overall, like, this is, we're hearing the same things over and over again. I'm going to also prompt you for a few other things. Have you ever had any, like, issues with the way the questions are asked? So this year, if you have, please let me know, because this year we've recreated all the questions for the USRIs, and we're piloting it at St. Joseph's College, so pending that success, we'll hopefully do it on our campuses. Would you prefer if your USRIs were linked via your e-classes, and have you ever taken midterm USRIs, and if so, did your professor actually take into account your feedback, or did they even acknowledge the fact that they did that? Respond to the department chair question. No, only students can access the results scores. So this website is only accessible for students with the CCID. If faculty people are doing the evaluations for the department for tenureship or for promotions, professors actually submit their own USRIs. Professors will get emailed their own USRI score at the end of a term. So typically it takes 3 to 4 weeks for a professor to get a report essentially of their course, and then when they apply for awards, tenureships, scholarships, whatever, they submit that package. And professors get it with all comments unfiltered. The USRI database that stands right now does not give students comment access typically, which is why I think it's like separating the two things.
Thank you, Ms. President. We have a comment from the live stream from Councilor Risby. One of the issues that I come across is the kinds of questions the students are asked. It doesn't go into details about how good the professor is at teaching or the examination methods. The lack of access to student comments is also not fun. They recognize that might not be pertinent specifically to this discussion, but it's just a piece of feedback for the USRI in general. Tell us about
Another thing to the website, so when you're finding a course and stuff, is there should be more options than like for psychology, like it's not the first beginning letters, it's like psycho kind of, but like weirdly spelled. And only if you search that and you can find it, there should be multiple ways to be able to find specific courses, like course titles, or you can just search like psychology or anything. Or like, you know, when like you start typing things and then like I think it's on like air tracks or something, then it pops up, maybe something like that.
That's President Bourgeois.
Specifically with regards to the questions that they ask, I think that they're not as good as they could be. Specifically, like, the instructor spoke clearly. Like, I don't know, I had a prof who I'm pretty sure there were students in the room who would have just given more of, like, a racist answer or something, even though the prof was really good. Like, my stats prof in first year was an amazing prof, whose English skills were not as good as other professors I've had, but I think that would just poorly reflect, and I don't think that they do a good enough job of gauging the actual like quality of the content that you learned or whether or not the prof was good at teaching you the course content. And then like for some classes, if all you have is a multiple choice test, how useful is it to ask if you got constructive feedback during the class? Like in a 400 person psych lecture, it's hard to expect a prof to like pull aside students that didn't do well on their multiple choice test, like 100 students or something, and give them constructive feedback on how they can get better at multiple choice. I don't know. It's bad questions.
Thank you, President Bourgeois. Councilor Hadouche.
Okay, so I'm actually just looking at it, and I know I said there's two links that you can go to, but one of them, they're actually only for profs. Like, I can't see see any comments. I can only see numerical data as a student, which is like kind of bold because I don't, I'm not going to look at every single question and see like, oh, there was 5 for this one, there was 7 for this one, 6. Like, if that, it's really hard to judge like to what course I'd like to take. So I think if there's a way to make the comments available for students, just.
Thank you, Councilor Hughes. Councilor Anderson.
One on that, I think it needs to be clear to people though that if it's going to be public for everyone to see your comments, that people know that your comments, because I know personally that I've really chewed out a prof before that I wasn't happy with, that maybe I wouldn't want to be publicly seen other than that direct connection with the prof. And then I'm also just looking at this prof that I know is not stellar from multiple occasions, but people end up just giving good reviews here because like he's got a overall median of probably about a 4 out of 5, and I know for a fact that he's not the best, which means that this data analysis here, like this set, is not at all accurate. It needs to be adjusted to be able to give better results for students to better grade and evaluate profs.
Thank you, Councilor Anderson. Councilor Lee.
I was just wondering if the Vice President of Academic could tell us a little bit about the new questions being piloted at St. Joe's, what the types of changes that have been made are, and in specific, if the new questions are designed to mitigate issues with bias, like racial bias and gender bias and other issues that have been identified before with bias in USRIs.
Thank you, Councilor. Our next speaker is Vice President Madiger.
So thank you again for all of your feedback. I'm going to also continue to target specific things that we're saying. So I heard a lot about the actual scores. People could take a look at how the scores are disseminated with the median stuff. Like, I am no statistician, but like a median is the middle of stuff, and that doesn't really make a lot of sense. So would students prefer to see median scores? Would they prefer to see highlighted scores? Do you find value in the percentile tabs that you're given? And if not, please let me know in response to your question. So for St. Joseph's questions, I was working on remapping them back in August 20th, so they've been launched for September. The questions, I would argue, are very, very, very strong as they stand, because they take away things that could potentially act for bias. So for example, like, about what percentage of this class did you attend? How many hours per week did you spend on this course? Please indicate the primary reason you took this course. Would you recommend it? I like was very lucky to get questions in about the textbook content. So like, how much was your textbook and how useful was it? How useful was your group project? How much value did you get? Did you learn teamwork from it? So it really focuses on like the course content, and like, did your course content reflect the learning outcomes in your syllabi? So the learning outcomes are the more broad topics. Like, this class will teach you about how to analyze society, and like the USRI, I think, should target more of those learning outcomes rather than like, did your prof teach you how to add 2 + 2? So the way that it, I guess, mitigates bias is through asking questions that allow students to reflect on their learning, and then at the end, prompts people to ask about their learning style, and then ask about the professor. That way people are able to think about the way that they learn in the classroom and whether the professor was able to react to that, or if it's more of a professor who was unable to actually articulate the learning outcomes to them.
I'd like to hear from the people as well who've taken more math, but like, I've taken 3 stats classes and I don't know what a 2P fence is. Never heard that term in my entire life. And also reference data, like what reference, what data. And then if you click the reference data links, you don't actually even learn what the reference data is. It's just this kind of weird abstraction where it tells you about 2P fence again. And then, like, personally, I think the median is a much better value to use in discussing the actual quality of your prof, and I think that it tells you a lot more about it because it'll help remove things like outliers. But for anybody that doesn't know what a median is, that's not accessible at all. And you actually don't know where the number 4.7, or the one that I'm looking at says 4.7. Like, you have to infer that strongly disagree is a 1, followed 2, 3, 4, 5. And then, like, if you're saying neither, is that a 3? Like, or is it a 0? Like, how do you add that up if you're a USRI person? And how do you arrive at a median of 4.7? Like, Because a median technically shouldn't be a decimal number, it should be a whole number, so that's kind of like whack.
Thank you, President Bourgeois. Councilor Bose.
Yeah, so I'm taking stats right now, and I don't know what that is. And I mean, to me, it looks like that the university doesn't want you to know what the prop, I mean, how the prop is. They're just doing this for business, because they need to, you know, attract students to particular sections. And I mean, just look at some of the questions. Like, I'm motivated to learn more about this subject. Like, no one needs to know that. I just need to know that. Do I need to actually attend the lectures, or can I just skip the class? And, I mean, you know, they're gonna post the notes, and I'm gonna learn things from that. So it doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know why they do this. And just look at the website. Like, it's so. I mean, even I can make a better website than this. I mean, just look at this. I mean, it doesn't work. Like, for, I mean, I have nothing to say. They claim that they are one of the best engineering schools in Canada. So, yeah, so those are my comments. I think SU should start their own survey results or like rating systems, because I think our goal is to ensure that the students get, I mean, get all the knowledge, and like the students be benefited from what we do. I mean, we don't need to stay here like what the university will think, or like how are they gonna handle it, because we don't care about that. So yeah, let's not care about the university, start our own rating system.
Thank you very much. Vice President Ripka.
I think overall for me, many people talked about the front end and just make it more accessible. The big thing is like students are not looking for super detailed information. They want to know if this prof is good or bad. So it can be very like kind of in your face. I think like pie charts are useful, or any kind of like those kind of things. And then like hover definitions. So if the student doesn't know what a median is, they can hover over it and it'll just provide a definition. That would be really good. Also, like, I do like filling out the surveys, especially when I have kind of feelings towards my prof, and I think I give great feedback, qualitative feedback, but I don't know what happens to that. That just goes into an abyss. So I wonder if, like, they, for the sake of transparency, because I feel the same, I don't feel that it's transparent at all. It's like they're hiding that information from you. I know that it's to improve the instruction of the professors, but they made like word maps or something, if there's words that are most closely associated with the teacher. I think that that would be all the information that students would need to make a decision about a prof.
Thank you, President Ripka. Councilor Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I think we should totally have an option is, do I have to attend this class and can I skip this? But actually, all kidding aside, I think I was just gonna say accessibility. Which has kind of already been talked on, so having charts rather than lots of numbers, but also having plain language for both of the questions and the definitions. So maybe instead of having mean, you just say average. Most students know what average means, not all students know what mean means. But I think that if that's solved, that definitely helps. But it's important that even the questions themselves are in plain language, because we do have a lot of international students on the campus, and we want to make sure that they also, when they're trying to sift through this database, they're able to actually understand what they're looking at and make fair assessments based off that. So that's everything.
Thank you very much. Councilor Belcourt.
I think things about like the messy page and stuff like that. Like it's really busy, and I feel like even like the points of like strongly disagree, like all of that, like that's not like, I don't think it's necessary, honestly. Like I think if there was a link and they wanted to include it, that like that could be an option if you want to know what those the exact numbers were to open that, so it's not so loud. I agree with like the questions. Like I know Andre, sorry, I always struggle with it. But like I know that you had mentioned like that people use like other sources and stuff like that, like RateMyProf, and maybe it's not like the best and stuff, but I think that they have really good questions and they have really good points. Like, do I need to attend this? Do I need to buy the textbook? Was it like, were they an easy marker and stuff? And like, they also have like the option of like your what grade the person got, which like, I don't know if we'd be able to do that. And I'm sure like it's not 100% accurate, especially with like RateMyProf, but it would like, I feel like maybe that would indicate bias and stuff, because like we'd said a lot of people, if they have strong feelings about a prof, you know,
they really like them, or more likely than not, if they don't like them, then they'll give them a really shitty like rating, right? And so if we knew what they got in the class, like maybe that could help the people know, is this like reliable, did they do well, or are they just saying that they suck because they got a D, like that, yeah.
Vice President Battinger.
Thank you again. I just love this. I will say one positive thing and one positive thing only about the USRS. We have the highest response rate in Canada. Like, not to be dramatic, but truly in like the U15 schools, like we have one of the highest response rate at like I think it was 37% as per report that we heard. So that's obviously there is room for improvement, and so I think a strong argument to be made is like when the database, as Yuriko was mentioning, is more accessible, then students will feel like this is a place that they can go to access information, and thereby people will feel like they should actually do the USRIs because it has a true impact on their quality of instruction. So I am really loving the feedback. This is really, really great, because I think bringing this to the university is like really important, especially. Like really nitpicky details are also really good, because if they've committed to fixing it, you best be knowing the report is going to be like size 8 font, 57 pages. You know, so please keep going.
That's a Hadoosh.
One thing that would be interesting to see is if there's like a question maybe based on like their e-class usage, because Tammy had a course in her first year that didn't use e-class at all, and I think that would have been a good heads up to have no
point of information.
Yes.
I would like to everyone to know that we are going to be doing an e-class survey in the next couple of weeks here that will be specific to e-class, so that'd be a good place for this talk.
They have like usage of e-class, and also rather than a median, a histogram can be useful.
Councilor Lee.
Just one piece of feedback we've got here is that special topics courses, like for example, topics in economic history or something, where they're different every time, should maybe be noted in the USRI as like the USRI that exists the previous year might not necessarily be relevant to the next year, so it would be like a different textbook and different instructional materials. To have that noted there, so people are aware of it.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Yeah, just one more question that I kind of take issue with is the instructor treated the students with respect. It's like, how much? Like, were they always respectful, or they were like sometimes making these offhand like sexist comments or something in your classes, or like did they call students like I hear things about profs making these kind of inappropriate comments about like student mental health or like being able to help them or stuff like that, but like are you really getting the kind of data you want by asking, are you treating students with respect? I don't think so. I'm done.
I think that doesn't work well. So any other items for discussion? Councilor Staff.
I don't know how well this would fit into the USRIs, but I'd feel also really good if there was like a maybe 3-sentence description of the professor, i.e. what their major or degree is. Because as a business student, if I'm taking, for example, a marketing class, I prefer to have it from somebody who's done, you know, many years of experience in the field of marketing, and not necessarily someone who's like an accountant that just has to lecture in the class because it was a needed lecture. So that would be something I think that would be really good for students when they're trying to make a decision.
Thank you, Councilor Stat. Councilor Belcourt.
I think another thing, this reminded me of like bear tracks and how like when you're trying to look at classes, if you open one window and you can't go back to it, and like trying to go in between, trying to figure like if the class is good and if you're reading the right one and like if it's available and stuff, like I wonder if there's a way that you could also link, like if there could be a link between like what the actual class is about, because there isn't actually a description or like a title of what these classes even are. So I think that would be helpful, especially if people are using instructor classes.
Anything else for Vice President Mattinger?
Thank you again for your comments. I am going to be asking for the specific comments regarding courses that are in faculty that are a little bit smaller. I have not heard from there is no representation from Open Studies faculty right now, so if anyone can speak to that, that would be great.
Sorry, what was the question?
Councilor Bowles.
What about?
So this might be a little bit off topic, but I think if we could rate our academic advisors as well, I don't know whether we can or not, that would be great.
Yes.
The academic advising survey on the UAAP website. Fill in your hot takes regarding that.
Yeah. Vice President Bourgeois.
Okay, I think this will be the last time I talk. I think it would be valuable for at least the university to know this, is if they actually collected student demographic data as well, they might be able to cross-reference USRIs with demographic data so that if you have like 10 students in the room who self-identify as indigenous or who you know speak French, you could find out if the professor is just like unbelievably shitty towards those groups of people or not. Perhaps that might be something of looking into.
Thank you, President Bourgeois. Anyone else? Going once. Going, Vice President Bachar.
I will ask this again. If anyone has taken an open studies course, I would love to hear feedback regarding the USR database access if you've been able to access it.
Governor Plamen.
Well, there isn't really an open studies course per se. We're just taking the same courses
students,
as...
Yeah.
Hmm?
Like students in open studies can still access this database.
Oh, yeah, we can. But, it's still garbage.
Anyone else? Going once? Going twice? Vice President Batnagar, are you satisfied with the level of discussion?
I can talk about this for hours, but yeah.
All right. When it comes down to it, we have decided that you need to be a private detective to find it and get a stats degree in order to understand it. All right, that concludes that item. We will move into the ad hoc committee for executive compensation. I believe the motion was worded on the previous agenda as Ripka moves to...
Establish an ad hoc committee on the
executive. Do you have it
written? I have it here.
Established ad hoc committee on executive compensation.
So, when parliamentary inquiry, I wonder also, does that technically cover the TORs that are presented to? Or should we make a motion to
that? Yes. So, that would be what we would be debating here, is whether or not the TORs are valid and whether or not we want to actually strike up this committee.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Is there a second for this motion? Vice President Brown.
Oh, no, actually, no.
Yes.
After withdrawal. His intentions, just like, after withdrawal, I second it.
I see what he's saying. President Larson, you can have this one. You don't need a second very often.
Sorry, it's instinct.
All right. Vice President Ruff, would you like to introduce the motion?
Yes, please. Okay, so... Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Attached to the order paper, you can see the executive compensation review committee. What it's called? Yeah. That will be an ad hoc committee. My guess is it would probably meet two or three times to first create a list of the data they'd like to compare from Alberta, from Canada, and then we can find that data and then we can come together to compare the benefits, salary and compensation packages of the different SU execs. Again, this is just in attempts to make the executive roles more accessible for people by reducing financial barriers to ensure that while an executive member, they are well compensated. So they'll meet on an as-need basis at the convenience of the voting of the members. I will also say I would just like to amend section 3.1A for the Vice President of Operations Finance to be a non-voting member. But other than that, if you have any questions, comments, concerns about the TORs or about the committee itself, please do ask.
I'll open the floor to debate. Oh, we do have a question on the live stream. From Councillor Sunday. Usually executive compensation falls under the mandate of the Council Administration Committee. How does the Chair of CAC feel about the striking of this ad hoc committee? Will the Chair of CAC like to respond? Governor Flavin, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. I believe Councillor Sunday and I were both members of CAC the last time this was talked about a couple times, and honestly, I agree with them. I don't see the need of having a committee pop up, meet a couple times, and then go away. when we could easily fold the duties and add it into the mandate of, say, audit or finance or even CAC. We reviewed this once before. We increased executive compensation. Everybody was happy. That was a couple years ago, but I don't see why we wouldn't be able to just do this on a regular annual rotating basis.
President Bourgeois.
This is a question for the chair of CAC. As the chair of CAC, I believe you've been sitting on CAC now for the last 2-3 years or so. If you were aware that this was a thing that should be handled by CAC, why have you not brought it up on the CAC agenda for the last 3 years? 2 years, however long it may have been.
Do you want to add? Yeah, we're going to Councilor Bose first, and we'll come back to you. Councilor Bose.
I agree with Governor Flamin that, I mean, I think by this time of the year, people already have commitment over a couple of committees. I think this should be handled by the audit committee since none of them sit on the audit committee. I think we will do a pretty good job since we don't have.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Point was well taken. There has been a lot of suggestions to things that I proposed on CAC in the last couple of years as a permanent member, but not the chair. And a lot of the suggestions kind of fell by the wayside. But now that I'm in a position to make sure that happens, I intend to do so if we end up deciding to go that way.
Councilor Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While I genuinely appreciate the confidence in the audit committee to be able to handle this new mandate, at least this year anyway, I don't think it would be able to take on the extra role. Just with the turnover of the chairs, we're actually just playing catch up right now, and we'll be very much focused on finishing the rules we already have. So just speaking as chair of the audit committee, I don't expect to be able to do this year, maybe one day, but certainly not this year. So, but that's it.
Vice President Bourgeois.
I appreciate the idea of putting this within a finance or audit committee, but I feel as though if there were members of finance or audit committee who plan on running for an executive position in their next year, it would be fairly easy to kind of misalign maybe some of those priorities and create possibly too much of an increase or something. Like, I don't think there's enough oversight or checks and balances to ensure that any increases or reductions would actually be fair, especially if the person on the committee may be motivated by self-interest, which is why I believe that the ad hoc committee is the best way to go to ensure good governance, responsibility, and actually achieve the goal of what we're trying to do here, which is make executive positions more accessible to folks. Like, for example, if you receive an executive position, you no longer have full-time student status, which means that if you have student loans, like if you're a person who needs to take student loans to go to university, you have to pay back your student loans. For some people, that's not, the compensation package would not be enough to cover their loans, rent, childcare, etc.
Thank you very much. Councilor Belcourt.
I was going to make a similar point, but in reference to either if it was an ad hoc or if it was to the finance committee, but how would you ensure that the four members of Students' Council that are sitting on the membership of this ad hoc or anyone, like, to eliminate bias and stuff if they were to run or potentially run running or anything like that?
Thank you. President Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was lucky enough to be around last time this conversation came up. One of the things I'd be happy to serve as a resource to this committee and bring my perspective over the years as to why I think something like this is necessary. The first bit is I do believe part of what this committee could do is discuss a long-term solution to what executive compensation reviews are done. As, for example, I do like the suggestion of audit or an independent continuing review, because that's what they do with McEwen, and it's actually a very healthy practice there. The other thing that I would bring up is that that 3 years ago when we had the last discussion around executive compensation, we did that because executive compensation doesn't increase by any sort of inflation standard and hadn't increased for almost 5 years, so it had fallen behind minimum wage increases and general living cost of living increases. We are now 3 years out from that last decision, so we're kind of preemptively kind of think about how we would approach this topic in the future. I won't really give my thoughts about conversation unless I'm at the committee and seeing what its recommendations are. But there are gaps for how a person can, how these rules can be made more accessible, particularly for students, let's say international students, students whose parents or otherwise, that could we could talk about finding ways to make it more accessible for certain persons.
Thank you very much, President Larson. We do have a motion for the live stream. Motion from Councillor Sunday to amend section 2.2 to read, instead of three voting members, to read three members.
Friendly?
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. That is taken. And the purpose of that was because the VP OPSFI is now a non-voting member, so they want to change it just to be members so they can count towards quorum. And next up we have Vice President Ripka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Responding to Councillor Belcourt's question, there's no real way that we can set it in stone that you would not be allowed to run simply because of the virtue of freedom, but it's kind of a, what am I looking for?
You can do it, if I may.
Good faith, in good faith.
You can also have people fill out a declaration of conflict of interest. So they basically have to say they don't have any conflicts of interest in this conversation.
Right, so we could do that. And I mean, the deadline for nominations is less than 10 days away, so it's pretty clear kind of who's running at this point. So, you know, if you do plan on being nominated or accepting nominations, just we do ask that you're doing it in good faith, that you do not have the intentions to run so that it can be as unbiased as a process as possible. Furthermore, the recommendation, if the committee does choose to give one, will go via the general manager to councillor. So any increases, whether it's in compensation, salary, benefits, etc., will be will go through council also. So the increases will need to be justified at the end of the day.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Councillor Hadouche.
All right, so thank you, Mr. Speaker. I remember when I was on Planet S beginning of the year, and you brought up this idea of having this executive compensation committee. I am in full support of it because I remember asking questions about the executive compensation and realizing they don't get paid parking and they don't get benefits. And like, if I was to work a full-time job, that kind of stuff that I would expect. Also, as well as I get a pretty sweet scholarship every year, but if I were to take a year off, I run for exec, I would not get my scholarship anymore. So that would be sort of something that I think does limit people, is that kind of financial factor.
Point has been brought up, and I just saw this as well. Something I need to address before we continue here. According to Bylaw 100, ad hoc committees shall have open membership. So meaning that you can have permanent members of the committee that have to be like CAC or like ARC, in that all members of the council would be members of the committee, but they would have a permanent membership. So with that, I'm going to just throw this in because it's pertinent to that. Another amendment from Councillor Sunday, motion to amend 2.1 to read the permanent membership of the committee shall consist of, three, I think it's supposed to be 3.1. Through one, the permanent membership of the committee shall consist of. Okay. And then we'll go to Councillor Stack.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know how necessarily practical this will be because of the sensitive information that would be dealt with. But just the point earlier about kind of keeping the process accountable and as unbiased as possible, I was just going to make a recommendation, not an amendment yet. That perhaps the committee could include 1 to 2 students at large in the process who aren't necessarily part of the SU and might have different perspectives on SU exempt compensation. And I think swaying them to wanting to vote for the process would be a good accountability factor in actually making sure everything is addressed. But once again, since this is very sensitive information, I don't want to be vote for the ad hoc. So maybe if
Councillor Belcourt.
Sorry, I was a little bit off. So I was curious for
answer your question to an extent, based on Bylaw 100, mm-hmm. ad hoc committee is a committee which is has a narrow focus and exists for a limited amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not there's a standing committee after that would be something the council would have to discuss.
Okay. So that's like, yeah, for the whole, like, making sure there's some, like, bias or conflict of interest, if that's going to be, like, a long-term, like, if this is going to be reoccurring, I think that's something that should be included.
Thank you very much. Vice President Rivka.
To Councillor Belcourt's point well taken, I think that this ad hoc committee will give an opportunity as just kind of a test case to test the process, to test the membership. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, we can, or you can make some amendments for next year. In regards to the students at large, the sensitive information concern is not so much a concern because it's a nonprofit organization. Our salaries are pretty public knowledge. I'm pretty sure the Gateway published them this year. So that's not too much of a concern. That being said, I just don't know if it's that interesting for students. Like, if you think that students at large should be on this committee, sure. But again, we're not gonna, you know, it's not really a political thing. It's not like, should the SU execs get an increase in salary? It's literally just, we're gonna take our data from our organization and compare it to the other organizations, draw some conclusions, recommend it to council, and then see what council has to say. So I like the idea of it. If counselors do think that students would be interested in this, that's great. However, it is February 5th, and just with like everything that's going on in students' life, I don't know if this would be the priority of ways to get involved. But if anyone has thoughts about this, please let me know.
Councilor Belcourt.
There was a point about it being open to something about like being able to bring in other people. Sorry, I lost this. I was trying to stop. About bringing in like the manager, general manager, and right there, and then other testimony as non-voting members of the committee. So what does that refer to? Like the non-voting members of the committee, is that like restricted to like students' council or anyone at large?
President Larson.
It would be at the direction of the chair. The examples are specifics of things I would suggest if they request. Human resources basically being the person who does our payroll. So if they wanted to discuss how the payroll system for executives works, which is currently like a monthly system, which is one of the things I would recommend for change. And then two, the general manager, because can we afford it? Like in all honesty, if this committee were to, it does cost money if we're going to review these things, either up or down, or benefits or not, and those sort of questions. So their input there is important. Other testimony is like, I might want to come say something about this process, having been an executive. There are also former executives who may have testimony, or other folks with living testimony for that as well. It's generally just they would show, this is to say that we can bring external members in, not necessarily just the voting members of council. At the chair's discretion, the speaker.
Thank you, President Larson. Councilor Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was going to say, to have this point earlier, very good point. I think it may be worthwhile to bring out at least once voting seat for student large this year for two main reasons. One is it's a great opportunity to try to educate students at large that the exam is actually paid and the full scope of the role, but also because I think it's a great step towards engaging students better in the process of these operations of the Students Union, even if it is just to start one seat on the Executive Compensation Committee. I understand that it's time-sensitive piece, but I'm sure 31,000 undergraduate students can hopefully find one that is too busy.
Thank you, Councilor Staff. Anyone else wishing to speak? Vice President Rivka.
So like I said, I'm indifferent to the student at large position, but I do look to council to advise on membership of this. Are there feelings about this? Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to just amend this, add one voting member position, or yes, one seat, or 3-1 seat.
To add 3-1 seat to be one student at large?
Yeah, in a voting position.
Okay. Vice President Rivka, is that amendment taken as friendly?
Yep.
Okay, that is done. Anyone else wishing to debate on the motion? Going once. Yeah. Going twice. All right, we will close debate there. All in favor of establishing the Ad Hoc Committee on Executive Compensation? Nice and high so I can do a count. We've lost people. We're doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. Okay.
He might not be voting in favor.
All opposed.
Pressure him to vote.
We'll do the live stream. I'll give you a couple seconds to send this in. Any intentions wishing to be noted? 17 in favor, 1 opposed. Motion carries.
Wait, did the
committee
score?
What's that?
Was that only 18? Or how many?
17 in favor, 1 opposed, which is 18, which is still. It's even that you have to. Quorum doesn't have to vote. It's have quorum at the meeting. People may not. People may choose not to vote.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That item is dealt with. I believe that concludes everything on here other than our one thing. President Larson, did you have a motion to make?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I would motion to go in close to discuss political strategy.
It's a motion in camera to discuss political strategy. Is there a second for that motion? Governor Plowman, I saw your hand first. President Larson, would you like to introduce this?
Yes, we have a number of items to discuss in regards to political advocacy of the organization that are of a sensitive nature. I would ask that we go into close.
Thank you, President Larson. All in favor of moving in camera? Any opposed? I would ask all members of council, all guests of council, to please vacate the chambers.
Can you walk so I can walk?